Hello there. You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Now let's return to Pageant Talk Radio on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Valerie Hayes.
Welcome back to Pageant Talk Radio. I'm Valerie Hayes, and today I'm visiting with Rick Brinkley, the official judges consultant for the Miss America organization. And of course, the judges are going to be arriving on Sunday, January 24th, so there's lots of excitement in the air for them, I'm sure. The judges panel this year includes Vivica A. Fox, Miss America 2002, Katie Harmon, Sean Johnson, Dave Coase, Rush Limbaugh, Paul Rodriguez, and Brooke White. Rick, I know this year when Rush Limbaugh was announced as a judge, there was a little foo-foo in the media. Were y'all surprised by that?
Well, I thought it would probably happen just because I think he's just a lightning rod. But
yeah, people either love him or hate him. There's no in between.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've talked to people who said they're going to go this year because for the first time because they want to see Rush Limbaugh. And I've seen people talk to people who said they don't know if they're going to go this year or not because they don't like him. But I think when they saw the rest of the panel, it really was that kind of perfect blend of all different types of backgrounds and personalities. And I think people kind of went, oh, this isn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be if they weren't a big Rush Limbaugh fan.
Right. It is an amazingly diverse group of judges. Talk to us a little bit, Rick, about how it starts. Of course, you mentioned earlier that, you know, in February when the pageant's done, you go home and you're kind of like in a pageant coma. You don't want to talk about it. But when do you actually start looking at people for potential judges? And what is the process as you weigh all the people that you might invite?
Well, we typically start with categories. We start with fitness, talent, communications, or interviews. We need somebody who that can find that star quality from an entertainment background. We want someone with a community service background who understands the job of Miss America, which is typically where we get our former title holder involved. We want someone from beauty. So we kind of start with those categories, and then we just do brainstorming, and we just start listing name after name after name after name after name. We will go through hundreds of names. And then we kind of prioritize those lists under each of those categories. And then as one person says yes, then we're able to fill that spot. And then because we also want ethnic background, we want male-female variances, you know, we want all those bases covered, it may adjust the priority list in the next category. And so we just start filling those spots. The one thing I've been very, very surprised by, to be quite honest with you, is that I didn't know what people would think when I called to say, are you or are your client interested in judging the Miss America pageant?
Right, because sometimes you're contacting their agent or their manager.
Correct. And so let's say you get your foot in the door. And what I've been very pleasantly surprised by is the amount of respect these people have for our organization. You know, like I said, I mean, I've always made a joke that, you know, the Miss America pageant's the easiest pinata at the party. I mean, if you're wanting to take a swing at something and make a joke, and we've seen late night talk show hosts do it and movies do
right.
it. But the reality
Well, there
is,
are entire movies around it.
Absolutely. But I've been very shocked at the people who are just very excited about the possibility of judging. We've had people rework their schedules to make it happen. We've had people that we have spent a lot of time trying to make it work in their schedule, where they've actually either had concerts or movies or TV, just trying to get out of doing it so they can judge, and it didn't work, and so we had to go down the list. So it's a very lengthy process just because of the amount of people you're involved with, and I don't mean this by any derogatory comment whatsoever. It's very different than working with people who are working in a local community, your pharmacist, your attorney, the high school music teacher. These people typically have many more people surrounding them and a lot more heavier schedules where they're traveling.
There's
layers and they don't
of
know whether
people and there's
right. So it's
previous
a little bit
commitment.
More. It's definitely a lengthier process than selecting judges for a local or state pageant.
Right. Well, now once the judges are selected, do they receive any information or training prior to the pageant, or does that all start on January 24th when they arrive?
They will receive the job description in advance, so they will already have a copy of it. They will also receive
the job description of the judge or the job description of Miss America?
Oh, I'm sorry, the job description of Miss America. And they will also receive all 53 contestants' platforms and resumes, so they can be prepared to interview them and will have some familiarity with the contestants before they arrive.
Are they encouraged to check out any internet websites that the contestants might have, or is that a no-no?
We try not to, just because we tell them to stay away from the anything related to pageants, because we don't want any kind of preconceived ideas, especially if there's like a TV special or anything leading up to it. They're forbidden from watching it. And what happens is that these people are very good at that, because they understand, being, you know, very, very media savvy, that you can be edited in some light that may not be accurate of who you are, and we don't want anyone to be prejudiced based upon either one having a very high expectation of a contestant or a very low expectation of a contestant.
So they've gotten the job description of Miss America, and you know, I assume that outlines, you know, the concept that you spoke of earlier, that you have to be the face, the voice, and the talent. What are the most specific aspects or qualities that you think the judges should look for to fill that job?
You know, I get this question a lot, and what I tell everybody is that even though it sounds very, you know, cheesy and cliched, the answer is still the truth, which is what we drill into the judges all week long, which is, you know, again, we don't care which one of the 53 you pick, but she's got to have it all. She cannot have two out of three categories.
So she's got to hit the mark in all three areas.
In all three areas, because what I say is the biggest exposure that Miss America will have to people is really the day after the crowning, when that crowning photograph appears in newspapers all over the world.
Oh, it's everywhere.
So the first thing is, she's the face of the organization. She has got to embody Miss America when you look at her. The second group of people that she will be able to touch are those who hear her speak, either on a national broadcast or even in a local community. So she's got to be able to have a very commanding, dynamic presence that's got a personality in it. So she's got to be able to communicate and communicate well. And then the third element are those who will see her perform her talent. And I know that a lot of people say, well, she doesn't perform her talent very often. And my response is, I don't care if she has to do it one time. When she does her talent, it puts the talent and puts the credibility of the Miss America organization on the line. So she may not be the most talented or the most beautiful or the most well-spoken of all 53, but she does have all of those qualities. And I think a mistake that a lot of times people will make, especially at a local or state level, is that a contestant will be incredible in one phase of competition, and they allow that to affect their overall impression of the contestant or the group of contestants. One phase does not allow you to do this job very well. You have to have all of those phases, and that's what we're looking for.
So given the fact that all three phases of the competition in your mind need to be equally mastered in order to be the title holder, how do you respond to the question, which we often get, especially for Miss America, which has such a heavy emphasis on interview, but also has such a heavy emphasis on talent? What do you think is the most important phase of competition? How do you answer that?
Right. Let me kind of break it down for you, which is that, you know, we've been talking about these three phases of the job description, but, you know, you've got all the phases of competition. But if you take the way the percentages are set up, and I don't want to turn this into a science project, but if you take the interview phase is 25% and the onstage question is 5%. So 30% of their score is communication skills.
Right. Their ability to talk to the media, to make an appearance and speak. Exactly.
Right. And then 35% is talent, and then 20% is evening gown, and 15% is swimsuit. So there's 35% of beauty and modeling and fitness. So it really ends up being a third, a third, a third, as close as we can get it without getting ridiculous at 33.3. But it's 35% beauty and fitness, 35% talent, 30% speaking ability. But the reality is we could make speaking ability 0% and it would still have the most profound impact. Not that we would ever do that. But
right.
Once I have met you, it changes my whole perception of who you are. So we've really balanced out all of what she has to do in her job. But most people don't put it into the groups. They just think, well, it's only 25% of interview, but 35% of talent. But the reality is that when you group them into the categories of communications, face, and talent, it ends up being a pretty even split.
Right. So realistically, from a statistical perspective, it's an even split. But it's just like what happens when we meet someone at a work event or at a social engagement. That first impression of meeting someone in the interview can be very impactful and can really leave a lasting impression in the judge's mind, can't it?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things we tell the judges, is that you've got to realize that Miss America is the job of Miss America is a year of first impressions. She changes cities every 24 to 36 hours. So she doesn't have a day or two for people to get to know her. And one of the things I tell the judges is pay very close attention to what your opinion is of that or impression is of that young woman when she walks in the door. And what is your impression of her when she leaves? Because that's going to be the impression that the public has of her, because that's all the time they're going to have with her as well.
Well, now the judges are arriving on Sunday the 24th. What is their schedule like during Miss America week?
Sure. The judges will arrive on Sunday. They will immediately go into their first orientation meeting. In that orientation meeting, we will explain the interview phase of competition and the overall judging process and the job responsibilities of Miss America. They'll also have a time that day to go over to the rehearsal and be introduced to the contestants, so the contestants have a chance to see them prior to going in the interview. Monday and Tuesday days are filled with interviews. Tuesday night is the first on-stage competition, and in that break on Tuesday afternoon, we'll actually do another orientation on the on-stage competitions. There will be the preliminary competitions. There will be media interviews and a press conference, which is always a huge success when the judges walk into the press conference. And then on Saturday morning, they will have a final night orientation, plus they'll do composite scoring, and then we will have the final night competition on Saturday. It's definitely a very packed week.
It sounds like a really busy week. You mentioned composite scoring. What is composite scoring?
Composite scoring is that what happens is that after the preliminary nights and the interview determine who the finalists are going to be on Saturday night.
Right.
And then what will happen is that Saturday morning, the judges will then do what is a composite score, which is they will not speak to each other. The judges do not even know who the top 10 are at that point, or however many finalists they're going to be. They don't know them at that point, who they are. We divide them up all over the room, and then we say, okay, contestant number so-and-so has made it into a finalist on Saturday night. Each judge will have up to 1 minute without talking to anybody, just looking at their notes and saying, now that I've seen her in everything, my overall impression of her is, and then we'll assign a score on her overall composite of what that judge's view of her is, taking everything into consideration.
And what does that composite score, what is the purpose of the composite score?
That will carry over 30% of the final night score. Will be based upon a composite score of everything that they had done during preliminaries. So
okay.
That's 30% going into Saturday night.
So Saturday night is, yes, they do compete again in swimsuit, in talent, in evening gown, and onstage question, but they're also bringing their composite score, which is 30% of their finals night score. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, 30% is set when they walk in. Just like when you walk in on the preliminary nights, the interview score is already
right.
Down. This mm-hmm. is the composite score, and then they, of course, compete again, and some contestants will do better than they did on preliminary night. Some contestants will have a little bit of stress issue and not do as well as they did on a preliminary night, and so Saturday night is still very much important to what goes on, but 30% is decided based upon what you had previously done.
Now, I know that some pageants have a different set of judges that might judge the interview and the preliminary competition, and then they have a completely, you know, they have, you know, judge set A, and then they have judge set B for final night competition. Obviously, your judges are there for the whole week, and you're just working them the whole time. What do you feel are the advantages to keeping the same judging panel throughout preliminary and final competition?
I think what it does is that it builds a relationship between that judges panel and the contestants. And so it's really different if you have been sitting there all week watching everything, seeing the body language, seeing what's going on. And when you come in on just a final night competition, you don't have that connection as a judge to the contestants or have any kind of prior history. You're just kind of walking in and blindly judging what you see, but you're losing that connectability, if that's such a word, to the contestants to really have that kind of history of the week to know what your impression is of that contestant. I think our first priority will always to have be a consistent panel all week long. And I've got to tell you, I mean, this judges panel and the previous judges panels, when you get this caliber of people to take a complete week off of their lives to do this, it speaks very highly of them and of their opinion of our organization. It's one thing to walk in and have to dedicate one evening where you can kind of fly in, do it, fly out, but that's a whole lot different than seven straight days of working on this every day and every evening. So it's a huge time commitment on the judges panel.
Right, and I mean, I have to assume that for them to do that, they think that this is a very important task and that they're honored to be invited to do it. And, you know, obviously they're taking it very seriously to be available for that length of time. So the judges are working hard while they're there and doing a very important job. What do you think is the most important aspect of your job?
It's kind of funny. I mean, it kind of varies on which part of the day it is. The interviews, you know, it's obviously the orientations and explaining the judging process and making sure they're consistent all week long and keeping them focused. And the judges in the past have all kind of made the same comment, which I'm almost and this is kind of a strange thing. I'm almost a pageant psychologist. And what I mean by that is that we have to tell them, you know, you've got to keep your energy up. You've got to make sure when you're on pageant interview number 47 that you're giving her just as much attention as you did contestant number one. This is her shot. And they understand that and keeping them focused on the job description all week long. We will never, ever, ever, I mean, and the judges are keenly aware of this. Our auditors are always monitoring the process. I'm not there to talk about any of the contestants. I don't know them. I mean, the judges see them for the first time about the same time I see them for the first time. My main job is to keep everyone focused on the job description and keeping them focused on doing their job and keeping their energy up and just maintaining that quality judging process the same as day one as we are at the very final day of the competition.
Well, it sounds like that would really be great advice for any judge at the state level who has a whole weekend. What advice do you give the judges, or what tips or techniques are there to staying fresh throughout the preliminary as well as final competition, even at the state level?
You know, we have a judging system on the preliminaries where the judges score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst and 10 being the best. And what we don't want to have happen is that judges get easier or harder as the weeks go by or as the week goes by, because what was a 7 at the beginning of interviews needs to be a 7 at the end of interviews.
So right, because that's really the only way to be fair.
Absolutely. And so what I have developed is what I call a cheat sheet, which is I have a laminated card in front of each judge, and what I tell them is that as soon as that phase of competition is over, whatever that phase is, your first question to yourself needs to be, was that below average, average, or above average? And if it's below average, then the only score you can give is a 1, 2, or a 3. If it's an average, your expectation of being an average whatever phase of competition, it's a 4, 5, or 6. If that was, she was above average interview, above average talent, whatever, then it's a 7, 8, or 9. And if that's the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life, then it's a 10. And we keep that in front of them at all times just to make sure that they're consistent in their scoring all week long. And I think that that's one of the problems we see at the state level is that there's an inconsistency in scoring, which can really, you know, affect who makes the 10. I mean, if this contestant did her interview on Monday and it was a 7, but if she did her interview on Wednesday, it would be a 9, then it would really adjust the outcome of the pageant. So consistency in scoring is one of the keys in making sure the judging process works.
Well, I think that's really good advice. I think that, you know, creating some type of matrix that judges at any level, local or state, obviously you're doing a great job at the national, a matrix that gives them an idea of the point values and what they're really relative to. I think that's a great idea for maintaining consistency. I know that obviously, this year, like every year, there will be lots of local title holders who are getting ready for their state competition this summer or late spring. And there will probably also be some contestants who are still competing at the local level. What advice do you have for those girls who are not yet here, but who are trying to get here? What advice would you share with them, Rick?
And I had the opportunity to speak at state organizations around the country, and I what I tell the contestants who are there is that there's a couple of things that you need to realize is that when you stop trying to give everybody what you think they're looking for, you're going to do much better. When you, and I don't even know if this makes sense to anyone but me again, when you walk into the room and not the pageant contestants you've created in your mind walks into the room, you're just going to be much more at ease and much more have a much greater ability to connect with the judges. I tell every contestant, you don't, you know, for a lot of people, especially if you're aging out or when you're going to Miss America, which is a one-shot deal, you don't get to come back next year. You need to leave everything on the table. And you need to say, you know, win, lose, or draw, I did the best job I could do in every phase of competition, and the judges knew who I was. And then let the chips fall where they may. I would also tell a contestant, if you've got one phase of competition that in your head you say, if I can just get through the interview, if I can just get through the onstage question, if I can just get through the talent, you're never going to win because in your mind you feel that you've got a weak area of competition. You've got to be looking forward to every phase of competition and have worked hard to improve yourself and all of those qualities. And the last thing I would tell them is that it's not all about you. The story I tell quite often is that one of the former Miss Americas who was a friend of mine, she had pediatric cancer as her platform, which meant that a lot of times she would do hospital fundraisers, and then they would ask her to visit the pediatric cancer ward. She arrived at the pediatric cancer ward, probably appearance number 427 of the year thus far, and as she walked in, the nurses pulled her aside and said, there's something we need to let you know. And she said, what's that? And they said, there's a little boy down the hallway who asked to have his morphine turned off today because he wanted to remember meeting you.
Wow.
A child was willing to endure pain for the opportunity to remember meeting Miss America. And Deidre Downs was the Miss America, and she very eloquently said, if they had told the little boy Deidre Downs was coming, he could have cared less. But they told him Miss America was coming, and the boy laid there in pain until she got there just so he could have the memory of meeting her. This is not about winning a crown. This is about taking on a job responsibility to be a woman of influence, probably greater influence for any woman your age in any community around the country, any state in the country, and obviously in the nation for a woman between the ages of 17 and 24. It's not about you as a person, as a contestant, but it is entirely up to you. It is up to you to allow the judges to see that you can do this job. And then once you have that crown on your head, it is up to you to live up to the expectations of being that woman of influence. We're a great American tradition, but we're not about the sum of a bunch of just different phases of competitions. We're about finding a woman who can be that woman of influence and have that kind of power and that kind of impact and that kind of understanding of the job that she has before her, that when a child is willing to endure pain, you realize, wow, it's not about me anymore. It's about being Miss America, and I've got to live up to that expectation of what the public has.
Wow, that's a really impactful story. And of course, Deirdre Jones was an amazing Miss America during her year of service, and obviously, you know, made an impact in that young man's life. And I'm sure that you have made an impact in the judging of the Miss America organization, both at the state and the national level. What do you love most about being the official judges consultant?
And of course, you know, I haven't given you a straight answer yet. I've always got two or three things I've got to say, which is, I don't think this won't be any different, is that one, it is, and I know how egotistical this is going to sound, and I don't mean it to sound as egotistical as it is that it's the confidence of knowing that there is going to be a consistency in the judging process and the way in which the judging is done and every contestant being treated fairly. 10 years as a minister, 10 years as the CEO of the Better Business Bureau, ethics and integrity are what I believe in, and I want to apply that to this judging process. And so that's my top priority. The second thing that is just fascinating to me is to watch the judges panel every year just completely embrace what they're doing and take it so seriously and completely buy into the pageant immediately after they get there. And to see, I don't mean this in a positive way, but to see their stress level rise as they're realizing the impact that they're doing, because it makes me know how seriously they're taking this. I've had judges cry after the announcement of the top 10 or however many the finalists were, so that way, because they realized that someone's dream had not been realized, or that the tears of joy of realizing they've been a part of changing this woman's life and how seriously they take this. And of course, the third part is being able to see Miss America, you know, usually months into her reign. I don't get to really see Miss America much after the night she wins, but to be able to understand that even though my part is extremely small, to know what that woman is going to be capable of doing throughout her year and really for the rest of her life. I mean, Phyllis George is the first one to say, she said, I could find a cure for cancer, but when I die, the obituary will be former Miss America dies. That label is with them for the rest of their lives. And it's not about changing a woman's life for one night. It's about changing the course of her life for the rest of her life.
Well, we really appreciate your taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us today. And of course, we wish you the best as you leave for Miss America and get the judges all in shape and get everything ready for the competition. And we really appreciate your being with us, Rick.
Hey, it was my privilege. Thank you very much.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Remember to keep your emails coming about the shows you love and the shows you'd like us to do. We love to hear from listeners just like you. On next week's show, I'll be talking with Katie Stamm about her year as Miss America and what she'll be doing after she crowns the new Miss America on January 30th. Remember, if you haven't already bought your tickets, just go to www.missamerica.com or www.ticketmaster.com. And if you're watching from home, tune into TLC at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central Time on January 30th. Thanks again for listening and for making Pageant Talk Radio the number one live Pageant Talk Radio show. I'll see you next time, but in the meantime, remember to make today a Pageant Fab Day.
Hi, this is Valerie Hayes, and I want to let you in on a secret. I've just released an audio CD of my Mastering the Pageant interview teleseminar, and I'm making it available to listeners of the show. The CD includes 3 audio files plus transcripts for easy reference. You'll learn how to spot and handle trick questions, the correct length of an interview answer, 3 tips for closing an answer when you're struggling, my easy technique for answering controversial questions, 2 secrets for winning the onstage interview, plus much, much more. Just pop the audio CD in your computer and listen, or download the files to your iPod. What could be more convenient? But the best thing about my new Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD is the low price of only $99.95. I want you to know that as soon as the audio CD is posted on the website and available to the general public, the price is going to go up. To get yours, just click on the Mastering the Pageant Interview graphic on the Pageant Talk Radio show page and order yours today so you can be pageant fab at your next pageant.
Do you love pageants but feel like there just isn't a positive place on the internet to connect with others? MyPageantPlace.com is the place to visit on the web for all things related to pageant competition. We welcome anyone with an interest in pageantry, whether you're a contestant, family member, director, vendor, or pageant fan. Your free membership allows you to connect with state, national, and international directors, as well as coaches, makeup artists, and more. Plus, you'll enjoy special discounts available only to our members. Visit mypageantplace.com today and enjoy the positive side of pageantry. Tired of wearing shoes that look great but hurt your feet? Are you spending hours and hours shopping around for comfort, style, and stability in a pageant shoe? Former Miss America Cheryl Pruitt Salem has a line of pageant footwear that you have to wear to believe. Whether you're looking for something special for prom or a fantastic shoe to compete in, Cheryl's winning shoe collection stands out from the rest. You can wear them all day and you'll look great too. Visit www.cpannie.com today to check out this amazing selection of high quality, handmade competition footwear. That's cpannie.com. Are you looking to pump up the volume and versatility of your pageant hairstyle? At pageantfaces.com, we've got all the options you need to create the look you've been dreaming of without damaging your natural hair. We offer undetectable clip-in extensions, micro-mini clamp hair extensions, collagen bond extensions, as well as fusion extensions. Why take a gamble on off-the-rack extensions when you can have custom-selected extensions that are right for you? Visit pageantfaces.com today, or email us at imageconsulting@airmail.net. Let us help you find the perfect extensions for your winning look. Miss America 1980, Cheryl Pruitt Salem, has been designing winning competition swimwear for elite contestants for nearly 30 years. Now, she's put together an exquisite selection of suits in her Platinum Collection. Platinum Collection swimsuits are individually handmade to your specific measurements using only the finest materials available. We custom weave our lining fabric to provide support and protection, and our fashion swimsuit fabric is the best in the business. From the finest shoes and pageantry to accessories and swimwear created by a Miss America winner, visit www.platinumswimwear.com to find everything you need for your winning competition.